6 o'clock. Today's learning is dedicated to Sechel Nishmas, Isha Chayasara, Bashar Biakov Yosef. May the learning be a schutz for Neshama, sponsored by Rabbi and Mrs. Tzvi Yehuda Morgenstern. Okay, we are up to, we just had a machloikus for the Stam Charamim. When a guy says Chayram, does that mean Derek Habayis? Does that mean it goes to Hendish? Does that mean it goes to Kehanim? With Karis consequences, because if a person donates something for Chayram, and the Kayan takes it as Makadish lady. If Sam Haramim is the better Kabayas, he did Me'ilah. And, or you don't even have to get to Kedushin here. I think Rashi goes even without Kedushin. Right? There's no Me'ilah. And if there is better Kabayas, there is Me'ilah. If it's Kahanim, it's no Me'ilah. That is the difference. And Me'ilah results in a carbon. If there was Me'ilah, it's a good carbon. If there was a Me'ilah, it's not a good carbon. If a person eats it when he's Tameh, there could be Karis if it's a good carbon. But there's a problem, because the part, the Maliyamah that learns out that Sam Haramim Lebedek Abayi is based on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Kol Chayram, Kaidish Kedashim Hu Lashem. That seems to say that any state of plain Chayram without any explanation goes to Hegdish. So how could that Maliyamah say, Sam Haramim Lekehana? So that's what we're up to. Him Kane, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 lines from the top. And came out Tamad Lemer Kaidish Kadashim Hulashem. So according to the Man, the Amad, it says that Stam Haramim go to Kehanim. What does he do with the Pasuk that says Kaidish Kadashim Hulashem? Shechal al Kachim Kadashim al Kachim Kalim. The guy donated a carbon. Now there are two kinds of carbonas. There are those carbonas that are called Kachim Kadashim, Ayla, Chatas, Asham. They can either not be eaten at all or just eaten by Kehanim. There's the Kachim Kalim, Shlomim, Taida, which the owner gets to eat. Either way, he no longer owns the carbon. In a certain sense, he no longer owns the carbon. In a different sense, he has some ownership in the carbon. If it is a neder, which means if something happens to the animal, he has to replace it. So then, he has ownership in the carbon, meaning it's worth money to him. In fact, it's worth its full value. Because if this gets lost, stolen, killed, he's got to replace it. So when he donates this carbon for a cherem, the carbon doesn't belong to him, but the monetary value that he has invested in this carbon does belong to him. So he would have to give that monetary value to Hegdish. And if a person would donate, or to Kehanim, depending on what's time, even meaning it's even Chal and Kachi Kedashim, and if it's a Nedava, if something happens to the animal, he doesn't have to replace it. But on the other hand, he has the right of picking which week to go. So let's say there's a Kayan whose father-in-law would like his son-in-law to be able to get some meat of a shlomim here, some chaz of a shark, whatever it is. So he goes to the Yisrael and says, maybe you want to bring it the week that my son-in-law serves. Now the Kayan can't do it himself. Kayan is not allowed to go out and campaign and for business to get stuff. But the Yisrael who's related to him can. And that's worth money to the Yisrael. Somebody might offer him a few dollars, he should bring it in the week that his son-in-law, brother-in-law, father-in-law is serving. And therefore, he has some money value in it. That's the amount of money he would have to give for Chayram. So the pasuk of Kol Chayram Kodesh Kedoshim Lashem is to tell me that even on things that are holy already, if a person says Chayram, he's got to give some money. Whatever his monetary rights are in this carbon, and he has some, by an eder he has more, by an adava he has less, but either way he's got some monetary rights to the carbon, he's got to give out that money to Chayram. So that's what they learned out from the Mandiyam, that's what that Mandiyam learns out from the words, Kol Chayram, even on Kodesh Kedashim, it's even Chal on Karbanas. Rashi, the Rashi, Shekhal on Kodesh Kedashim, Kedetan. Machrim Adam is Kedoshav. A person can make his Kachim into a Chayram. Now, how can he do that? Can't give it to Bedek Abayas. Can't give it to Kehanim. These are, it's owned by a, it's a carbon. So what happens is Nisin Demeyim. I'm sorry, Im Neder Hu Nisin Demeyim. If it is a Neder, which means he has replacement responsibility, he had said it's incumbent upon me. So if something happens to the animal, he's got to replace it. So he gives its value. Then the Dago, where he doesn't have to replace the value, Naitzin es Teivasan, he gives his what's called his Teivas Hanah, his monetary right of choosing which week he's going to go. And that's worth money. Some relative of some kind somewhere is willing to pay that this carbon end up in his relative's week. So therefore, there is some kind of money that a person can make off a carbon. So when he donates it as a cherem, he gives that value. According to the share that he has, to the Mepharish Mesechtes Erechin, the Perek HaMakdish. Yes. You never know. Truth is, it wasn't, usually. But you never know what a person would do for his relative. I got you a bunch of kabanas that day. Yeah, again, you never really know the situation. It's hard for me to answer a question like that. But some father-in-law, son-in-law, brother-in-law might be worth a few dollars to steer business towards his kayan relative. And whatever that's worth, and if it's not worth much, it's not worth much. But whatever it's worth, that would be the amount, the going rates would be the amount that the person would have to give by chayra. Like, hegdashis, what is the argument that the Zaka Mamre can have with Vezin pertaining to hegdash that could have karas consequences? The Puktid Rablezer v'Yakub Rabbanon, it would entail the machloikas of Rablezer v'Yakub and the Rabbanon, would be pertaining to that. The Tanya, we had this earlier in the Masechta. It says 10 times the word kayan in the parasha of Hegdish, but not in the same parasha, over 3 parashas. One of the Amar says you only need 3 people to determine value of an item of Hegdish in order to redeem it. And Blessed Yaakov says no. Anytime a guy donates something to Hegdish and wants to redeem it, he needs 10 people, and one of them have to be a Kayan, to say this is what its value is. Now, if you do it without 10 people, according to Blazim Yaakov, that's an invalid redemption. If one does it with 10 people, then it would be valid. Rabbanon say you do it with 3 people, it's valid. Here we have an item of Hegdish, and the Zaka Mamre Paskin, 3 is enough. Or the Zaka Mamre Paskin, you need 10, whatever it is, let's say he said 3 is enough, and the Rabbi Ezemi and the Bezim Paskin, you need 10. It was redeemed with 3, the Zaka Mamre Paskin to do it with 3. Somebody has Anah, according to Bezim, he's Ivra Me'ila. According to the Zaka Mamre, he's not Ivra Me'ila. And it's Karis consequences, because when they bring a carbon from Me'ila, and somebody eats it, Betumba, he's Chayav Karis. But if it's not a good carbon, if it's not a necessary carbon, he's not Chayav Karas. So here you can have an argument over Hegdish that has Karas consequences in what happens afterwards, in the carbon that might be brought, which according to one is a carbon, according to the one is not a carbon, and somebody eats it when he's Tameh, there'll be an argument, is he or isn't he Chayav Karas?
But why can't the thing be that the carbon still and someone went and ate it and made it?
That's not Karas.
It's Hegdish?
Yeah, it's not Karas. Please be with mind, it's not Karas. Rashi, Shekhala Kutcha Kedashim, we did that right. Tenura, Mizle Kutin, a small fork, Shetavim by Zov, like that they spin with gold. Yutke Hanim.
Tenura is a pipe.
What?
Tenura is a pipe.
Tenura is a fork. Could be a pipe also. Tenura is a pipe. Yud Kehanim with the Parsha Perakama, Yud Kehanim is even the Parsha. It says 10, it's supposed to be Yud Bnei Adam, that's what our Gemara has. It says 10 times Kehanim, Imdibdis Vapachas Masari Bnei Adam, Adain Hegdishi, Umbayalimba, Rabbanon Eimayalimba, according to Rabbanon 3 is adequate. We now move on to the following part of the Pasuk. We already did Ki Pali Mimcha, Mimcha was the argument about Kiddush Hashana, Ibra Hashana, Davar, the argument about Halacha L'Maisha Misinai, La Mishpat, the argument over Exeri Shava. Bein Dam L'Dam, we had 3 kinds of blood. Bein Din L'Din, we had 3 kinds of judgments. Bein Nega L'Nega, we had 3 kinds of the Goyim. Divrei included 3 things that were dependent on words. Cherem, Erech, and Hegdish. Now we move on to Rivais. Things that have to do with interpersonal arguments. Which the Gemara identified as three. The Hashkar Saita, the drinking of a Saita, drinking her Saita water, which comes about through an argument between husband and wife. Arifas Egla, this week's Parsha, the chopping off of the calf's neck, which comes about through murder, through a murder that occurred, which happened through a fight. And Taras Metzaira, a Metzaira which comes about Lashon Hara, which usually happens through some kind of an argument as well. And therefore, those are the three things that the Zakim Mamre and Bezin might be arguing about, that is referred to in the word revice. Now we're going to go through all three to show how you can have an argument in those areas that can manifest itself in Karas. Hashkar Saita Bepukta Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua. Let me explain. The halacha of Saita is as follows. The simple halacha of Saita, the way we paskin, is a lady is warned by her husband, do not go privately into a room with so-and-so. Now, she's not supposed to go privately into a room with so-and-so, even if she's not warned by her husband. We call that yichud. But the question is, if he warns her, and he tells her, in front of two Adam, listen, I don't want you going into a room with so-and-so. And then she goes into a room with so-and-so, and she becomes usher to her husband. We don't know what happened in that room. We don't know whether she committed to this or she didn't commit to this. There are no Adam of what happened in the room. But we have Adam, or we have knowledge that she went privately into a room with someone. At that point, she becomes usher to her husband. At that point, she's offered three possibilities. Two possibilities with three consequences. She can say, I'm not interested in drinking Saita water. I'm innocent. Or I'm guilty, whatever she wants to say. And I'm not drinking the Saita water. He divorces her, and he does not have to pay the ksuba. He does not have to pay the ksuba because due to her behavior, this marriage has been ruined, and therefore she's not entitled to the payment of the ksuba. Ksuba is the amount of money that a husband promises his wife at the end of the marriage, if the marriage is terminated by him. Now, he is terminating the marriage through a divorce, but since she caused it by her behavior, he does not have to pay her a ksuba. If she insists on drinking, one of two things will happen to her. If she's guilty, she will die. If she's innocent, she will be exonerated, and she might, according to one man the Amar, even be blessed and have children if she didn't have children before, or have healthier children if she did have the children before. All kinds of mandiyam, different mandiyamrim that discuss that. Now, I don't want to get involved with that. Now, there's an argument of Tanoim. How many Adam, what kind of proof do we need that she spent time privately with someone in a room? Now, he warns her in front of two Adam. If not, it's not called a serious warning. And he tells her, listen, don't go into a room with someone, with this person. He identifies the person. He doesn't want her spending time in a room. And now we found out that she did go privately with someone, with that same person. What does found out mean? Rabbi Shua says we need two Adam to tell us that they saw her in a room with someone privately and nobody knows what happened. If he sees her on his own, or if one aid tells us, doesn't mean anything to us. In order for her to become usher to her husband, which would require her to drink the Saita water or refuse to drink the Saita water, that is only if we found out about the stira, that's what it's called, going privately into the room, stira, through two Adam. Rabbi Eliezer says, once he warned her in front of two Adam, even if one witness comes and says he saw them privately in a room, or the man himself saw his wife going privately into the room, she becomes usher to him, and has to drink the Saita water. What happened is, she went, this is what happened. This lady went into a room privately. There's only one witness for the husband's own testimony. Queen Rabbi Eliezer, if she says she doesn't want to drink, she loses her tzuba. Queen Rabbi Yeshua, at this point, she doesn't have to drink. And therefore, if he wants to divorce her, he has to pay the tzuba. Now, the woman goes and takes the tzuba, or someone of her takes the tzuba. She sold her tzuba to somebody. You know, women used to sell the rights to the tzuba. Was, you know, the business, the future. You bought the right to the kibbutz, and now the guy grabs the money because he holds like Rabbi Eliezer. And the Zakim Amre says to him, you're right. And Bezin says to him, you're wrong. And it's used for Kedushin. Now, is this Kedushin valid? Will depend on this Machloik, the Zakim Amre and Bezin. According to Bezin, they hold like a Yeshua, the guy never was owed the Ksuba. The marriage, the guy was owed the Ksuba. The marriage was terminated, he had a right to the Ksuba. According to Eliezer, she messed it up by her own behavior because she went into a room privately, and we know that through one aid or through the husband, and she's not entitled to a Ksuba. So the guy that grabbed the money has stolen money. The Kedushin is not a Kedushin. And you can have Kairos consequences. Somebody else makes Kedushin. Whose Kedushin is good? Who lives with her is Chai of Kairos. That's the case. Let's read it inside. Bitan. Hamakane l'ishtai, somebody warns his wife. Rabbi Eliezer, I'm a Makane abishnayim, he warns her in front of two witnesses. However, umashka b'yerechad abiyatzvai. She's required to drink, even if one aide or the guy himself sees her going into a room privately. Rabbi Shua, I'm a Makane abishnayim, umashka abishnayim. Rabbi Shua says that he warns her in front of two, and he has to have two witnesses testifying to her going into a room privately. And if not, she is not does not have to drink. Now, if she doesn't have to drink, if he divorces her, he has to give her a tzubah. She does have to drink, and she says, no, I'm not drinking, but he doesn't have to give her a tzubah. She had sold her tzubah. Somebody grabs the money. Is it his money or not his money will depend on this Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua, and the Kedushin done with that money will depend on the Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua, and there's Kairos consequences. Rashi. Now this guy who bought it grabs the money. He claims that Rabbi Eliezer is right, and I'm owed the Ksuba, because this lady was ushered to her husband, refused to drink, therefore, I'm sorry, he claims that Rabbi Shua. He claims that this lady didn't have to drink, and therefore, I'm entitled to my Ksuba. He divorced her, he owes me the Ksuba. And Rabbi Eliezer would say, he divorced her because of her behavior, and she's not entitled to Ksuba, she doesn't want to drink. So therefore the money grabbed is gzela. Am I confusing or am I clarifying?
I don't know, why does that be grabbed? Why can't it be sold?
Well, if he doesn't pay, how's it going to make a difference? How's it gzela? How is the money gzela? Only if somebody takes the money. Nobody
takes the money from?
From the husband. Yeah. Rashi. Hamakana l'ishtei hamasrei b'ishtei al tishrei mishpleini. He says, do not go privately with this man. I saw her going privately in a room. From Vahishka, and if he didn't give her to drink, the following don't drink, but they don't receive a ksuba. One of them is, she refuses to drink. If there is no edim that saw her go privately into a room, and she says, I don't want to drink. Now, going to be sure she has no option of drinking. She's not usher. But Lord Rabbi Ezra ain't look suba. Lord Rabbi Shua, yes, look suba. She ain't in the service of them, but she's not usher. There's no proof that you went privately into a room. You need proof of the waiter. Then Mark really akad subasa, kana. And if she sold her suba to somebody else, she's kaina. Then typhus mamayna shazakadek suba. And if the guy grabs the suba, hari hu shaloy le kadesh bayathisha. Belongs to him. He can do Kedushin. Or Rabbi Yez Havik Gezel. Going to Rabbi Yez, you had no right to take the money. Never ever like it. It's just not a good Kedushin. So here you have an argument pertaining to Saita that has Karas consequences. Rabbi Shua Eimer, Saita. Egla Arifas Egla. Where is the Machloikis about Egla Arufa? Dr. Gemara, the Pukkin, Rabbi Yez, and Rabbi Kiva. This argument will be in the Machloikis of Rabbi Yez and Rabbi Kiva. This is the gay this week's Parsha. A dead body was found. We measure to the closest city. Now, from which part of the body do we measure to the closest city? The Machlokes. Naftamina will be. There are two cities. The measurement is very close. Depending on which part of the body it's measured from will determine which city has to bring the Egla Rufa. Both bring an Egla Rufa on their own. One is a real Egla Rufa. One is not. The Egla Rufa is Aser Bahana. The non-Egla Rufa is not Aser Bahana. Aser Bahana, you can't use it for Kedushin. If it isn't Aser Bahana, you could use it for Kedushin. they went and they used the Eglah Rufus for Kedushin. Now, they are arguing which one is a Kedushin and which one is not a Kedushin. And this has current consequences. Because according to one Mandi Amar, City A has the Eglah Rufa, City B was Mutar Bahanoah. The other Mandi Amar says vice versa. And this is Kara's consequences. This could be the argument between the Zakim Amre and the Bezin. Dr. Gemara, Main Hayim Maidah then. It's a Mishnah and Saita. Where did they measure from? The Tnan. Rabbi Yezer, I remember Tziburoi, from his navel. Rabbi Kiva, I remember Chaitmai, from his nostrils. Rabbi Yezer, Yaakov, I remember Markim Shinasa Cholul, Mitzavarai, from where he's killed, which is usually the neck. The word Cholul refers to someone whose neck was, he was wounded in his neck that caused his death. So there's three different Mandi Amrim, and where we measure. Now somebody's nostrils might be closer to city A, and his navel might be closer to city B. And that's where you have your argument. Rashi, Me'en ha'yamaydin lay the Ezeir kray v'lachol, which is the city that's closest to the dead body. V'tiburai, v'aysa shekray v'litiburai, and the city closest to his navel, Taviyat the Egla should bring the Egla Rufa. The Loya Kreva Lechaitmai, not the one closest to his nostril. Kibayim and Lechaitmai. Sekta Saita Mefarish Taima. Sekta Saita explains the reason of the argument. Mar Sava Ikechi Yusuf Yapay. One says a main life comes through the nostrils, his air supply. Mar Sava Ikechi Yusuf Betibure. I don't know how to explain it, but the main source of life has to do with the navel. Now, for sure, that's the way he was nourished as a fetus. But maybe that's what it means, Ikechayuse, that as a fetus he was nourished there, therefore that's considered source of life. Even though now, as a living person, he's nourished through the air that comes through his airwaves, which come through his nostril. Malkim Shanasa Chol, the Ainu Mitzavare. The Pasuk says, he must say Cholo, which is the neck. The Stam Cholo Mitzavare. The Mefarish also, the Gemara explains, Lotes Oischa Al Tzavrei Cholol Mishoim. The Pasuk says to put you on the necks of the dead Mishoim. So Cholol is referred to the neck. But not a Mekadosh Megla Rufa, and a Mekadosh. Egla Rufa is also Bano, you can't use it for Kedushin. The Mother Zakamamri Mitiburai, if the Zakamamri decided to measure from the navel, Bezim Mechaitmai, and Bezim decided to measure from the nostril, they view Elu Egla Elu Egla, both cities bought the Egla Rufa, Lamar Zu Egla Vasura, Vaimakachimba, according to one of them, this is the Masadika Egla, and it's not Kedushin, the Zuena Egla, and the other one is Makachimba, Lamar Adi Ibra, and this has current consequences.
It has nothing to do with where he was killed.
No, that's what the pasuk says. Cholo. Cholo refers to someone killed in the throat. So that's the norm.
If he was not killed in the throat.
I don't know. I don't know what would be according to that man. I don't know. Now, this is only if he's lying in between the two cities that way. If he's lying sideways, it's not going to make a difference which part of the body you measure from. And it's only when it makes a difference. It would have to be mighty close that it should make a difference. Taris Mitzayra, what is the argument about Taris Mitzayra? The Puk to the Reb Shimon Rabbanah. They argued over Reb Shimon and Rabbanah. One of the parts of the Taris Mitzayra is that oil and blood have to be placed on his right thumb and his right big toe. What if he doesn't have a right thumb or a right big toe, the Mitzayra? What if he doesn't have one? So there's a three-way argument, what to do. And if you can't do it, according to one Mandi Amar, the Mitzayra remains a Mitzayra permanently. According to the other Mandi Amar, he can remove his saras. Now, a Mitzayra that walks into the Beis HaMikdash is Chayav Karis. Is he a Mitzayra or not will depend on whether he can remove it or not. He doesn't have a right thumb or a right big toe. Is that make it impossible for him to remove his tumas saras, or does he remain? I'm talking about to walk into the Beis HaMikdash. He can remove his tumas saras as far as being reintegrated into society, but the question is, can he remove his tumas saras to the point that he becomes completely tar? He has to bring these kavanas. It has to be put on his right thumb, right toe. He doesn't have one, and he remains tumay that he can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash for the rest of his life.
It's an
interesting thing that you brought it up, because this is a major tumult in the Mefarshim. Is it someone who never had, or someone who after he became a Mitzayra lost? They do talk about it. We had a similar thing by Yad HaEdim. Hayada Eidim, we said, it's only if they had hands and then lost them. But if they didn't have hands from the time of when they testified, then it's not Ma'ake.
Right.
So they talked about that, whether it applies here as well. That's not Eloy Bayan Yad Bayan Regel. He does not have a right thumb or a right big toe, or Oidin Yamanis, or the right ear. Eloy Tarai Lamas. Tanakama says he can never become completely tar. He'll never become tar to the point that he can enter the Harabai, the Beit HaMikdash. The other Eimer, Naishlam Akaim of the Yaitzai. Put it on the place where the thumb would have been, meaning to the closest part of his skin, the hind, and that's called putting it on the thumb. And if a Shimon Eimer, Naishlam Small of the Yaitzai. We like it on the right, but if it can't be on the right, it can go on the left. The last two Tanam allow him to lose, to become tar. The first Tana says he can never become tar. This is a machloikus with Karis consequences. If he walks into the Beis HaMikdash, he will or won't be chayv Karis, dependent on this stat. Rashi. Eloi Tarai Lamas, the Be'in and Krok of the custom, because the Amram of Nigmar Adin. We need the Pasuk as written like it says in Nigmar Adin. Naisin Amakaymai, Amakaym Habayan, on the place of the thumb, Naisin Dama Asham. The Torah lichtus the migdash v'lechol kaidish dainus dainikaris made it that's punishable by karis to eat kachim or walk into the base of migdash as a mitzayra. That would be the consequence. Now we move on. We had divrei revise. We're up to bisharecha. It's the last one. Yes. Interesting. See, the mitzayra goes through a number of tara processes. His tara process starts outside of the three machnas. When the kohen goes out, they have the birds and they sprinkle on him. That allows him into the city. So he became partially tahar. At the end of 7 days, he goes to the mikvah. At that point, he becomes tahar enough to walk into the harabayas all the way up to the azara. Now, the Torah made a special allowance for him to stick his thumbs, big toe, and his ear into the Azara door to be able to receive the blood and the oil. But he cannot completely walk into the Azara until that is done. So he has a special allowance by the Torah to allow his thumb, big toe, and ear to go into the Azara to get this done. The rest of his body is standing in the Ezras Nashim. He's at the top of the steps. Talked about the 15 steps. He's at the top of the steps, by the door. He's not allowed in except for those parts of the body that are necessary. After he finishes his korbanos, he becomes completely tahor. He can walk into the Azara. Can this person ever become completely tahor? Is what they're arguing about. Bisharecha is the last word. This week's parsha. Divrei Revice, Bisharecha. And we learned in the Brisa, that leket shikcho beya. Leket is what falls at the time of harvest. Shikcha, what's forgotten to be harvested, or what's forgotten in the field. And peya is the corners of the field. Now, I can say it right now. Any argument over leket shikcho beya, whether it belongs to the poor person or to the owner, will have consequences in Kedusha. If the poor person takes it and he wasn't allowed to, it's stolen. If the owner keeps it and he wasn't allowed to, it's also stolen. And if he does either one does kedushin with it, it's stolen merchandise. So we will have different machlokesin pertaining to leket, to shikcha, to peya, which will be an argument who does it belong to, and that will have karis consequences if it's used for kedushin.
Let me understand something here. If he wanted whatever it's going to be, how much is it like? No shayla in my mind, a ball of bias would
yes.
not would say, you know what, if it's gonna this is gonna come up, this is gonna come out of it, that's gonna be a problem with car race for people, I'm Moichel, the two sheep, the two little no one's gonna say what a person's gonna say, oh I'm Machbid, so therefore I hope he gets car race. No person would do that.
But you're asking me, maybe the guy's Michael, maybe the guy's not Michael.
And, no, any person, every person, if you go to Kassus, any person would not do that. He wouldn't think, you should be able to say, to use the money to Makai someone, so I hope you all get curries.
I mean, it's a question that's the Avraham Avinu Yamaka kind of question. I mean, what am I supposed to answer?
I know, I'm just saying a fact. In every year, there's a year, Dutoshoyam. I mean, all these have certain things that is a normal.
You're making an assumption, and therefore you have a question. Right. If the guy doesn't think about the fact that he's going to use it for Kedushin, the guy took my money. Not Michael, my money. Somebody comes and steals your jacket. And you're the Chafetz Chaim. You say, Michael, keep it. Right? You're not the Chafetz Chaim. You don't say, Michael, keep it.
We're talking about a couple of little sheaves.
What was that? Yeah, this is money. It's money.
It's money, and I hope
people. We're talking about one jacket. I mean, why? Money is money.
Because the ramifications that come out.
The guy doesn't think about Kedushin. Somebody takes your jacket and you say, oh, you're going to use it for Kedushin. It's going to be a problem.
Even stealing. If it's less Shavar Puta,
it's not less than Shavar Puta. It's money.
How much is
it? I don't know. I don't know what the grain cost in those days. By the way, if you don't mind if I ad-lib, you know the famous story with the Chafetz Chaim that came and stole his candlesticks and he ran after the guy and he said, he's Michael. Famous story. That was the story they went and they told it to the judge when the judge wanted him to swear. So the judge said, I don't believe the story. So the lawyer said, yeah, but Your Honor, nobody says this story about you. Right. So, as they said, but there is a second part to the story. Second part to the story is the Talmidim asked them, why did you have to yell out your Michael? Why don't you just Michael him here? Why did you have to chase him and tell him it's yours? Just tell him it's here. He says, the Gemara says if somebody thinks he's doing an Isser, even if he's not doing an Isser, he gets an Aveira. Gemara says that a woman that made a Neder, she thinks she's an Azer, and her husband meanwhile canceled it, but she doesn't know. And she drinks wine, even though she's not doing an Aveira, but she thinks she's doing an Aveira, she gets punished. So he says, he's going to think, that's what Gemara says, he's going to think he's using a stolen candlestick. And therefore, he's going to think he's doing an Aveira, he's going to get punished. I want him to know that he's not doing an Aveira. Anyway, but, so you would like to come to time, you would be Michael, anybody takes anything from you. It's good to know, that way I know who to take things from, you know what I mean? You're Michael right away, it's only money. Leket the Tanan. Shnei Shibolim Leket Shloisha Eina Leket. There's a machlokes Beishamai and Beisil. Whether if two fall down, it's Leket, three is not Leket, or three Leket and four not Leket. That's a machlokes Beishamai and Beisil. That could be an argument between the Zakim Mamre and the Rabbana. Shikha. Shnei Oimrim Shikha. If you get two bundles of Shikha, Shloisha Eina Shikha. Va'akulon, and both of them, Beishamai and Beisil, Shalush Nuani Vagal of Alabayas. Now the Ani took it. According to Beis Shammai, he took what's rightfully his. He took three. According to Beis Hillel, he stole.
He's talking about the Ani. He's talking about the Ani as the one who might be up for Karis.
Exactly. Well, he might not be up for Karis. It might result in Karis. He makes the Kedushin. Someone else makes the Kedushin. And
it could be the Ani.
Yeah, it could be the Ani. Rashi, Shalushain and Leket, Shain Derek Lav Kiran. Interesting Rashi. Rashi says because people usually care about three. They only don't care about two. But it's interesting. Nobody's leaving it there because they don't care. They're leaving it because the Tyra said they shouldn't care. But Rashi's explaining that the reason Beis Hillel says three are not leket is because three is something a normal person bothers him. So the Tyra only said what normal people don't care about, leave there. What normal people are concerned about, then you don't have to leave it there. Rashi's giving you the reason why Beis Shammai says, Beis Hillel says three is not leket. Shloishein Shikha, the Sifra Yalav Lamikroi. We're talking about bundles here, so we learn it out from Sukkim Bavarsha Shikha. We have necklace on Kamam Rabam Af Shloishein Shikha. He said three is Shikha. But Ani Vanot, but the Bar Balabayas Vanot Lehimenu Luzakim. Right, the other way. The Ani took it, and then the Balabayas took it away from him. Luzakim Mamre Havi Gezu Ve'Ein Mekachim Vayisha Rabbanu Mukadeshes. According to Rabbanu, there is a Kedushin. According to Luzakim, the owner uses it for Kedushin. You could have the Ani use it for Kedushin as well. So I wanted to quite ask, what do we have to have it taken back? Why can't the Ani use it? I don't know the answer.
And is the Rabbanu that came up with Leket, how much?
By Leket, it seems that it's logic. By Shikha, it's based on Sutu. Something to my right. Peya. What's the argument about Peya? Now, Peya is corner. Bepukta Rabbi Shmuel Rabbana. That's not. Mitzvah Pei Elavrish Menachamah. You're supposed to leave the corners when the grain is still standing. Lo Yifrish Menachamah. The guy went and harvested his whole field. Yafrish Menachamah. He's supposed to give the poor person Peya, which is the 60th rabbinically, from the bundles. Lo Yifrish Menachamah. He didn't do it when it was in bundles. Yafrish Menachri. He used to put it in a big pile. He should give the Ani a 60th of the big pile. Atchulei Mirchai. Until he smooths out the pile. Up to then, he's not Chayav and Maishus, and therefore he can give it to the poor person and pay his Patam and Amaiser, the poor person can use it. Mirkai, if he already smooths it out, now he's Chayav and Maiser. So if he's going to give it to the poor, he has to take off Maiser first. If not, the poor person loses 10%. Pay his Patam and Amaiser if it's given prior to the obligation of Maiser. But once it's given after the grain was obligated to Maiser, it's Chayav and Maiser. So in order to compensate the poor person for his loss, Maiser and Isomai. So far, no argument. Shum Rabbi Shmuel Amrav Mafrish Min Isa. There's an argument. What happens if you baked the grain into dough? You made it into dough. The Rabbanan say you did a shinoi. You now no longer have any payah here. You've stolen it from the poor people. You've changed it. It's a monetary obligation, but this belongs totally to you. And if a poor person would come and take it, he would be Ayvig Zayla. Rabbi Shmuel says, not true. Even after you make it into dough, the poor person has a right to a 60th of it. And if he takes it, he's taking his own grain, his own dough, and he's not Eirik Zayla. This can have tyrant consequences. Let me just do Rashi. The Rashi, Mitzvah Peyla, Minan Aprish, Minan Kama, the Fibloi Sechala, do not destroy it, the Lahanach Lusneim, do not totally cut it off, leave it in front of them, the Hemik Tzuru. Marka Bikrin is Chayav and Meiser. The Nigmar Malacha, it's Gemar Malacha. He'll give Maser Tchilus Akrim Mikol Maser Isof. He first takes off all the Meisers he has to, Meiser Rishon, Meiser Shani, Meiser Ani, the Nisim Lai Zapaya. Shilu Frisha Lai Adinim Chikhan Lasra. Had he done it the right way, Zanim wouldn't have had to give Meiser. The Lekhi Chikhan Paya Paturim and a Meiser. Af Mapish Mina Isim, Tokhna Balosh, if he ground it, needed it. Tanakama Tokhna Butter, once he grounded its butter, the Kanya Bashino. He owes the money, but he doesn't, the item belongs totally to him. The Ba'an even Atuk de Beya, Bishir Hachna, or Bishmoloi Havigazu, or Rabbanon Havigazu, yes.
You have the smooth pile of grain, all of a sudden you're moved by religiosity to go off to a hermitage, and you just monitor all of your possessions.
I hear your question very well. Let's backtrack. Hefker is Patam and Amaiser. That is true. Pay is not Hefker. The difference between pay and Hefker is pay can only be taken by poor, Hefker can be taken by everybody. There's no restriction on rich people taking Hefker. There is a restriction of poor, of rich people taking payah. So payah is that the Torah said, if you leave it for payah, we tell the poor people, even though it's not hefker for anybody else, just for them, that they don't have to give miser. If a guy would say, I am making this hefker to the poor and not to the rich, the person who took it would be chayav a miser. It's only because it's called payah that there's no chayav of miser.
Right. But at that point,
he's not making it happen.
When he says, yeah, the process that Rebbe's talking about,
he says it's payah.
He says, I have control over this, he retains phylos. So, but however, he's not
making it happen when he makes it payah. He's making it payah.
But one of the qualities of payah is not chayav maaser.
That's if it's given, because it's usually given before the grain ever was chayav maaser. So it never becomes chayav maaser. But this is already being given from grain that is chayav and miser. You can't turn the clock back. This grain is already chayav and miser. Making it, once grain is chayav and miser, you make it hefker, you're still chayav and miser also. Hefker, batam, and a miser is only if it's done before it's smoothed out. Once it's smoothed out and this grain became tebo, you cannot turn the clock back.
If there's a pre-existing obligation, then the obligation stands.
Exactly.
So if one were to take the pile and allow it to rot, one would still owe the monetary value of the miser's.
Well, I don't know if you have to compensate Levy for rotted grain. I don't know if you're McLeod or not. You would have to research the sentence miser's and find out.
There's one more good note. A
No, this is dries. Yeah. He's referring to Mishnayot. A guy is magdish his grain. After he smoothed it out, it's chayav mais. It's only when those things are there when the chayav mais just comes upon it. Yes. Yeah, but the difference is, in one case, this item belongs to the poor person. In the other case, it's a monetary obligation.
But if he steals something away from somebody that owes him a monetary obligation, why is that called?
Because, that's a good question. The answer is because I wanted to say an answer, but I'm not sure it's true. See, the problem with stealing, with paying back stolen payah, is that you never have to do it. Let me explain to you why. The poor person knocks on the guy's door and says, "Stole my payah." He says, "Not your payah. I was going to give it to a different poor person." Because even though when payah is given, you have no choice which poor person gets it, but once you're paying the poor person back for a stolen, that's the difference. Let me explain. If the poor person owns a 60th of the grain, the owner cannot direct it to a specific poor person. He's got to put it out there and say, any poor person that takes it, it belongs to him. This poor person decided to take it on his own. If the owner owes poor people money, he doesn't put it out and say, whatever poor person takes it. He pays a specific poor person, which doesn't allow any other poor person to grab it, because the owner now has directional rights to which poor person it should go. So as long as it's payah, in essence, the owner has no right to decide who gets it. Once it's a monetary payback for payah stolen, he gives it to whatever honey he wants, which means he can never be forced to pay, because he can always be looking for the right honey. The Gemara calls that a mamon she'ein lo tayvin, money that has nobody to collect it. There's no one that can force him against the wall and say, you owe me money. I don't owe you anything. I owe a specific poor person. I haven't decided who he is yet. But if it's payah, then I have no right to direct it to whatever honey I want. I have to leave it out to whichever honey. One honey decided he was going to be that whichever honey, and there's nothing I can do to stop him. That's the answer. Something in my advice. Gimu batei dinim. There were three batei dinim. And they came to the top and they had an argument. Now there's a big machlokes here, and I will explain it the way that Kohenim explained it. What concerns the Torah about a Zaka Mamre? Now we are trained from our days when we learned about Zaka Mamre to think one way. But there's really two separate ways of understanding it. If Kahana holds, the problem with Zaka Mamre is that he's arguing a Messiah. He's questioning a Messiah. Therefore, he's only a Zaka Mamre if they claim that they know it from their Rebbeim, and he's trying to figure it out on his own mind. So, who are you to argue on people who claim to have a Messiah? But if he claims that he heard it from his Rebbe, even though they claim they heard from their Rebbeim different, he would never be a Zaka Mamre. He'd be wrong for not listening, but he would never be classified as a Zaka Mamre. He has his Messiah. So according to Kahana, the Aveira of Zaka Mamre is a Chaylik al-Rabbi. He's arguing on Messiah with his own logic, questioning something that's been handed down generation to generation. Rabbi Lazar holds, that's not the reason of a Zaka Mamre. The reason of a Zaka Mamre is he's creating an argument in Klal Yisrael. We can't have two tyrants. We can have diverse ways of doing mitzvahs. There's got to be one way of doing it. And he's undermining the system which allowed Bezna Gadol to decide right and wrong. Therefore, I don't care whether he's claiming Messiah. I don't care what he's claiming. And I don't care what they're claiming. If they're Bezna Gadol, he can't paskin against them, because he's creating machloikas. So there's two diverse opinions here. What creates the Zaka Mamre? His questioning Messiah, or his undermining the authority of Bezin HaGadol's psak? Nafkamina is, what is he saying? I have a Mesaira. I'm saying it on my own. What are they saying? Like the it makes no difference. According to the first man, the Amar will make a big difference. And let's see that itself.
According to the, he didn't say anything. You're the first. Let's say he's doing it on his own. Okay, you know what? It's my opinion. Too bad. And the Beit Din HaRishon, not Gadol, the first one said, we have a story from Rebbeim that...
So, Mitzakim HaMei HaSei Beit Din HaGadol.
Why?
That's not Walker. The Terry said only Beit Din HaGadol. They're the only ones that are Bali Messiah that nobody can question their Messiah. Dr. Gemara. Amar Rav Kahana, who I'm in the Piyashmua. He claims that he had it from his Rebbeim. Piyashmua means I heard it from my Rebbe. The Hein I'm in the Piyashmua. And they claim they heard it from their Rebbeim. Ein Anerag. He's wrong. He shouldn't be basketing against them, but he's not a Dakamami. Who I am Rakaku Beinai? If he says, that's the way I hear things, I didn't hear it from my Rebbe, that's the way I understand it. The Hainai Mkaku Beinu, and they say, no, we understand it differently, but they're not claiming to have heard it from their Rebbe, Hainan Erek, because he's not undermining any Mesaira. Again, he's not right, but he's not undermining Mesaira. The coach came who I'm in Piyashmua Bahina Mkaku Beinu. And for sure if he claims he has a Messiah and they say no, we think differently, he doesn't have to subjugate his Messiah to their opinion. He's not a Dr. Mamre. Ain't an Eric. Achi Aymar, Kahu Bainai. He has to say, I hear it this way, I think this way. The Hainim and Piyashmua and they say, no, our Rebbeim taught us differently. It's only if he undermines Messiah. The root of a Zakim Mamre is his refusal to subjugate his personal opinion to a Mesaira. Keda, and Rav Kahana proves it. There was a person named Akavya ben Malalo. He had four arguments with the Rabbanon. He told his son when he died, you listen to the Rabbanon, not to me. So his son asked him, so why didn't you listen to the Rabbanon? He said, I had a Mesaira, they had a Mesaira, I did my Mesaira, they do their Mesaira. You don't have a Messiah from a Rabbin. You have it only from me. They're a Rabbin, I'm an individual. You have to accept their Messiah. I heard it from many. So to me, I had a correct Messiah. I think I'm right and they're wrong. But now that you are listening to me who's one and them who are many, you should follow them, not me. Now how could he, what do you mean? Why wasn't he a Zakim Amre? He went along his life, he paskin for himself, which is called a Zakim Amre, against Beit Din HaGadol. The answer is, there's no difference if he teaches somebody else or he does it himself. So, the answer is, because he did it with a Mesaira. So he's not a Zakim Mamre. He didn't do it on his own. He did it because his Rebbeim taught him. To be a Zakim Mamre, you gotta be someone who does. That's what Rav Kahana is proving. Akavya ben Malal nechlo chachamim belishkas agazes bedalut dvarim. He argued and said, "Hedron agadol on four things from Sefer Tidius." So Emor lebnai b'shas misasa. He told his son as he died, "Chazar b'chav bedalut dvarim sheyisi Emor. Do me a favor. Look, don't do what I did in those four things." Amalei Abba, "Va'atem me'maloi chazay tamem. Why didn't you change your mind?" Amalei Ani shamati mepiam rubim v'hem shamam mepiam rubim. I heard from many and they heard from many. They followed their Messiah. I followed my Messiah. Your Messiah is not as good as theirs. They're many and I'm one. It used to be many against many. Now it's one against many. Therefore, don't listen to me. So here we have that Akavya ben Malal did not change because he had a Messiah. That's Rav Kahana's opinion.
His Messiah had to be from many. You know, he couldn't just.
Correct, yes. Did he have a right to reject the Messiah? I don't know. He didn't. You want to know, does he have a right to?
Yes, it doesn't make sense to me. I'm in the minority here. I'm creating my focus, and I really feel it was taught to me in Yeshiva, but it's never made any sense. Can I say...
Well, according to the next Mahdi Amar, he's obligated to reject his Messiah because the majority is disagreeing with it.
But generally, according to this book, I've learned this.
According to this Mahdi Amar, I don't know the answer. Yes?
Is he really rejecting Messiah? I mean, he's just saying, this is what I believe, but he has to follow him. But that's
no, but Harvey is asking, what if he decides on his own that they make more sense than his Messiah does?
Oh, okay.
does he have a right to reject this Messiah? According to Kahana, according to Blazer, he has to because of Machloikas. But according to Kahana, who says Machloikas is not the problem. The problem, we can live with Machloikas. We can't live with people who don't accept Messiah. He is accepting Messiah, his own. Can he have a right to reject his own Messiah and accept their Messiah? I don't know.
I still believe this is right. This is my Messiah, so I'm going to accept it.
Well, that might be true because of Machloikas, but not because he doesn't believe his Messiah. Yes.
I think there is my son, they may be going according to the second line. I don't know if there is where, for instance, Rebbe Lez Ben Rav Shimon argues on Rav Shimon.
Well, that could be not in the Drasha. That could be not in a Messiah. It could be in how to understand something. It's only when they claim the Piyashmua. They say Kahu Be'enai, you say Kahu Be'enai, I say Kahu Be'enai.
So Masura is not necessarily defined. Is that what you have learned?
No, Masura means it comes straight from Sinai.
I don't get it. You mean to tell me all those base elevations that might argue?
The Gemara is going to discuss it on the base.
I didn't prepare that hard.
I know, so we'll. Either did I mean, I did, but we're not getting there until next week. Dr. Gemara, Reb Lazer Eimer, Reb Lazer says, Afilu hu Eimer Piyashmua, even if he claims to have a Messiah. Vehein Eimer Kachu Beinenu, and he says, this is what I think, Nerag. Kidei Shla Yirbu Machloikas Yisrael. To Reb Lazer, the issue of Dr. Mamre is undermining authority of Bezin, nothing to do with Messiah or non-Messiah. Vim Taimer Meimala Hargus Akavi Bimalalu, Meshla Hargus Alokha Lamaisa. Rakavi ben Malal never did it. He just kept on saying, I think I'm right. But he never actually did against Bez. Okay, so we have a basic machlokes and understanding of Zaki Mamre. What is required to be a Zaki Mamre? One who undermines Messiah or one who undermines authority of Bez? Tanan.
In the classic case where he teaches it to others, if they don't put it to Maisa,
if he tells them to do it, he's a Zaki Mamre.
But in this case, because he didn't do it, he didn't pass it on.
He didn't tell anybody to do it, correct. He told people, I believe it, but he never said, do it.
Because, so he's a Zaki Mamre when he tells others, because they might eventually do it.
Exactly. Because he's telling people to do it, that's Zaki Mamre.
I guess instructed to do it.
Exactly. Well, instruct them that they could do it. Kach darashti v'kach darshu chaveray. When he goes to Bez and the Mishnah says, he says, this is the way I darshan. This is the way my friends darshan. Kach lamati, kach limdu chaveira. My love, why does he say what he said first? From the fact that he says what I said first, the Gemara and the Havamina thinks that means he has a stronger basis than they do. I have Mesaira. Kach darashti. I'm first because I'm doing this with Mesaira. They are arguing a my Mesaira without a Mesaira. And yet he's a Zaki Mamre. That's what the Gemara has in the Havamina. My love, the Hu Amrim Piyashmua, Vehein Amrim Kahu Beinenu. As Arachoner explains, that the Havamina is based on the fact that he puts his Drasha first, which means to say, I have a stronger basis than they do. And still we say he's a Zaki Mamre.
Because
he says his opinion first.
They
said the same words, the Rashi or the Mamre. I know. That's why the has the problem. And that's why he explains that the Havamina of the Gemara is based on the fact that he expresses his side first. He must think that he has a stronger basis. Why does he think he has a stronger basis? He has a Mesaira. And they don't. Again, the Gemara is going to answer doesn't mean that. It's a Havamina. That's why the Gemara and the Havamina thought that that's the case.
If he goes out of order, it's a whole different ballgame.
No. We're trying to figure out, just from the way the Mishnah presented it, what was he saying? From the fact that the Mishnah presented his claim first, the Mishnah is saying he has a better claim. Still he's a Zaki Mamre. Why does he have a better claim? Because he's claiming Messiah. And they're not. And for the Gemara, that's not what it means. He's saying his first because that's what people always do, not because it's a better claim.
Rabbi,
yes?
Does the obligation
to tell him that that opinion exists? Yeah, but he's not allowed to pass him to do, according to the second version, he's not allowed to tell people to do it that way.
I understand,
but it doesn't make a difference. He wouldn't, he'd be able to tell them, this is what I believe, but in actuality, he would have to tell them, don't follow me.
No, not believe.
Tell his children what? That this is the Messiah, and tell his children this is when he's supposed to behave. But don't do it. Because that is authority. See, the Torah says, according to Blazer, the Torah is saying that Bezin HaGadol decides halacha even if they're wrong. Halacha is not right and wrong. Halacha is the words of Bezin HaGadol. Right. But if you are bound by the fact that Bezin says this is the halacha and I can't argue on them, see, I think what you're looking at halacha as an absolute, and by according to Rabbi Lazar, the Torah is giving Bezin HaGadol to decide halacha and make it a non-absolute, meaning even if they're wrong, they become right. And if they're right, that's what has to be done, even though in the absolute term, they're not right.
Even if it's not another Messiah, the Gemara says.
Even if Bezin HaGadol rejects your Messiah, says you're not right, and we think differently, and they paskin that way, let's do it the other way. The Gemara Yevama has a whole argument whether Beis Shammai kept on doing what they held or they agreed to Beis Hillel. If once the halacha comes down that this is right, this is what has to be. See again, halacha is not an absolute. This is what it boils down to. It's not that we do what necessarily is right. We do what the Torah wants us to do in this circumstance. That becomes the halachic right.
Potentially at the expense
of what we would call absolute truth.
I'm not even using that term, I'm just viewing this as...
Right. Potentially right even at the expense... Right potentially right. Even at the expense of halacha l'moshe
m'sina. Isn't it not really a contradiction that... I mean, he's a parallel from the secular world. Supreme Court rules...
That's because there's no Messiah from Sinai in the Supreme Court. I know they have a thing, what's it called? Stare the Sinai, whatever it is. Stare the Sinai, but that's not a Messiah. That's not a law from Moshe Sinai.
They were wrong, but this is the law.
Again, but that's only because there's no Messiah, a law from Moshe Sinai. There's no absolute truth. I'm saying, what's bothering Harvey is, unlike secular rules that we can change at any time, what comes from Sinai is non-changeable. And here, we're telling Akavia, even though you are 100% sure that you have what's right from Sinai, halachically, you have to tell people to do the other way, which you think is wrong, because that's what halacha mandates, even though in what you know Moshe Rabbeinu said was different.
But he has broken the circle, he keeps teaching, but still says you have to follow them.
But the Bezin says... to do not that way, even though he knows they're wrong and he's right.
But can you say you should do this because that's what we have to do, but I still think...
Yeah, you can do that, but that means in reality what's supposed to happen is not happening anymore. But it is happening because Bezin decides the Torah, but we'll have to do this a different time. The last question, which is number 9, we didn't get to, so it means it's only the first 8 questions on the show. Sunday 6:30.